Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Wednesday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, gearing up first and foremost for Thanksgiving, but two, still looking forward to Texans Colts. That's all the way on the weekend once you get through your Thanksgiving and so on and so forth. But we're still, as we're looking forward to that, getting some reports from out there at Houston Methodist Training Center where C.J. Stroud and Jalen Petrie both out there practicing. And when it comes to the reps, at least in group drills, yeah, what have you, C.J. Stroud taking first reps, Davis Mills, Graham Mertz following. So without it being official, this feels like more mm-hmm. trending towards the idea that C.J. Stroud will indeed be proverbially under center.
First team reps, that's all I needed to hear.
That's I feel like I'm in the same boat as well. All right, we're continuing to look towards that game, as I mentioned, let's go behind enemy lines and talk a little bit more about what the Colts are bringing to this game, or at least what they're bringing to the physical facility there in Indianapolis when the Texans go out there. Let's talk to Colts beat reporter for The Athletic, James Boyd, who is on the phone line. James, what's happening, man? How you living?
I'm living good. Excited for this matchup.
We are as well. We've been talking all up and down about it since Monday, since we had our game on Thursday. And I need to ask you the most important question about this matchup. Is cranberry sauce in a can or elsewhere in your household?
I ain't rocking with it at all, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think cranberry sauce is the most overrated side dish in Thanksgiving. I could do without it, honestly.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That hurt my feelings personally.
I'm punting it.
I understand that from the perspective. But looking at this game, one of the things that we are looking at with the Colts is that offense has taken a little bit of a slide over there. What would you say is the probably the main contributor to what we've seen from the Colts maybe since week 9 in a little bit of a step back offensively?
I think it's been their inability to really thrive in the blitz. If you look at their first 8 games of the year, they were blitzed, I believe, the third highest rate in the league, and they were still able to put up a ton of points and have a lot of success through the air. And Daniel Jones in particular was great. And then over the last 3 weeks and the last 3 games for them, he has not been so great. They've still been blitzed at a very high rate, but just the success factor has not been there. And I think that's the recipe that Pittsburgh threw out there, I want to say, in week 9. And since then, other teams have kind of picked it up like, hey, if we just keep our composure and try to, you know, make sure that we throw them off with some blitzes, some timely blitzes, make Daniel Jones beat us. And as of late, he's regressed back to the mean. He hasn't been horrible or terrible, but he hasn't been a top 5 quarterback like he was playing like he was earlier in the year and before everyone rolls their eyes. Statistically, he was that earlier in the year, but now he's back down to earth.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because the Texans thrive when they don't blitz, when they just let the two ends do their part and add somebody to the secondary. To me, that might end up being, you know, one of those things that changes over the course of the game, because Daniel Jones has had, as you pointed out, has had success against the blitz, and so have other quarterbacks against the Texans.
Absolutely, but talking to the offensive line this week and talking to Shane Steichen, you better believe that Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson are two guys that are on top of the scouting report. And to be quite honest, I don't think that the Colts tackles have played all that great this year. They've been pretty good, but as of late, there's been moments where you look at Bernard Raimann, the left tackle, $100 million man, just got a payday. He has not looked like a $100 million left tackle this season. I think that's a fair statement. And on the other side, the right tackle, Braden Smith, he's had moments as well where he's gotten beat. So, again, I think it – obviously would favor Houston to not have to blitz and still get home. But best believe, man, if the, you know, those two pass rushers aren't getting there for whatever reason, whether they're, you know, trying to throw in extra, you know, tight ends or chip blocking them, whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if the Houston dials up a few pressures just to make sure that Daniel Jones gets fed up.
Well, I wanted to follow up on that because I guess Shane Steichen said Daniel Jones has a fibula, which I think we all do.
A couple of them, in fact, yeah.
I think we all do. And that was just comical to me because for me, and I was telling Reggie and our listeners, when I hear fibula, even taking the, you know, the smart aleck comment out of it, that speaks to stress fracture or hairline fracture. I mean, you never hear of a fibula being strained or something like that. Is this a little more serious than and maybe affecting him as well?
I do think it's serious because anytime there is an injury to your quarterback, you have to take that and, you know, make sure that you're not dismissing it, at least in my opinion. And on top of that, it's just the weird nature of it all, right? Like you mentioned, it's a fibula, it's a bone. So what other things can you do to a bone besides break it or crack it? And the interesting thing about this is he was fine. Wasn't on the injury report all year until last Thursday. It popped up. He was limited then. And then in Sunday's game against the Chiefs, in which they lost, on a couple of his scrambles where Daniel would, you know, you used to be screaming for him to get down and, you know, not take a hit. He was not moving as fluidly as he normally would be. So I was able to follow up with him today and ask him, hey, is this something you have to constantly think about when you're out there? And he said, no, you just go out there and play. And they say there's no limitations to, you know, him being hit or having, you know, some trouble there with the leg. But I'll be honest with you, I think they're just lying because they have to. And don't want to give any way, I guess, any trade secrets to the opposing team. But in my opinion, man, there's no way your fibula can be bothering you and it doesn't affect you as a quarterback.
Yeah. Thank you for clearing that up for us. We're talking to James Boyd, the reporter for The Athletic who covers the Colts. And I want to ask something that's a little bit longer term because obviously going acquiring Sauce Gardner basically takes you out, I think, the Colts out of the realm of possibility of acquiring another quarterback, at least through draft means. And does that, are you in agreement with those of us that believe that that says that the Colts are solid and in on Daniel Jones for a number of years after this one?
Ooh, that's a great question, because if you'd asked me this after week 8, when they were rolling and, you know, I think he had 3 turnovers in his first 8 games and was leading the league in passing, I'd be like, yes, he's the guy of the future. He's not the same old Daniel Jones from New York. You know, build the statue next to Peyton Manning, right? But now, when you look at him, the last 3 games, I put a piece out this morning, actually, kind of saying, hey, you don't have to rush this. The franchise tag is still kind of your friend. And the thinking there is, yes, even though you have shipped off your 2 first-round picks over the next couple of years, and you double down on having Daniel Jones here, I don't think you should triple down on it just yet if he continues to look like this. Because I would honestly lean towards the franchise tag as of now, because if your evaluation of him is that he's not going to be who he was earlier this year, then I don't think you should just overly commit to him and give him a whole bunch of money over the next 2 or 3 years and say this is our guy if over the next 6 games – you see him regress too much for you to really believe in that going forward. So they're in some interesting territory, and I still think over the next 6 games, Daniel Jones is doing some auditioning for how the Colts will approach his future with the franchise. But make no mistake, he'll be back here next year, whether it's franchise tag or a long-term deal. It's just figuring out which one you want to use.
Sure, that makes sense. The other side of that, or at least the deal that caused that thought, was the one to go and acquire Sauce Gardner. And it feels like Lou Anarumo has gotten to a place where they're playing a little bit more man, obviously, when you have a player of his caliber. Do you anticipate that this week? Because you got to understand, we over here are licking our chops at the prospect of Sauce Gardner versus Nico Collins.
Look, Nico Collins is Jerry Rice against the Colts. It feels like every single time they play each other, he goes off. He's actually one of my favorite wide receivers in the league. And they know that here in the media room, they always call me a fanboy. But I'm like, I just like dogs, and he's one of them. Mm-hmm. So I think that he is somebody who's going to be a matchup problem for them. And no, I don't think that it will be necessarily just one-on-one, we trust you on an island against Nico Collins. I think he's too good of a player for that. But it certainly does help to have Sauce Gardner out there, along with Chevarius Ward, who's also been an all-pro in this league, and then Kenny Moore in the slot. So it'll be a committee making sure that they keep an eye on that dude, because I believe over his last 3 games against the Colts, he's been crushing them, averaging over 20 yards a catch, over 100 yards a game. And he's somebody who I think if you let him get loose, you'll be looking at them and saying, dang, we let another, you know, huge division game go in a matchup where coming off the Kansas City loss, this is a huge, huge one they got to get back on track with.
What's Tyler Warren's development been like? It just seems to me from watching this team that they're really starting to focus a lot more on him, getting the ball to him a lot more, and he certainly seems to know what to do with it.
Well, absolutely. I will say two things. One, his development as a speaker, not so great. He is still not the greatest interview. Great player, and I'm like, boy, and whenever he has a big game, I'm like, I got to go find somebody else to talk to because you will not say anything for help me for this story or for the radio for that matter. But good dude, nevertheless. But I think that he quietly has become sort of the focal point of their passing offense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily meaning that he'll get all the targets, but because of how he affects everything else around him. You have to account for him because he's been such a good blocker that, unlike last year, they're not really tipping their hand when he's in there. You don't know if they're going to run it or if they're going to pass it. And he's a matchup nightmare. The guy catches everything in his vicinity. Tough dude. And he's somebody I think that has really given them an option over the middle of the field that they just haven't had in recent years. So special player. Looked like it in camp. And he just continued to build on that. And then the last thing I'll say about him is the versatility, whether it's lining up in line as a traditional tight end, whether it's lining up wide as a wide receiver, lining up in the backfield as a running back or a fullback, they move around a lot, and his ability to not only keep up with all of that but still be explosive in many of those settings, it speaks to just how good of a player he is, and I think he's on a all-pro or Pro Bowl trajectory.
I'm always interested in the perspective of the other city in these matchups, and clearly – when you're looking at this defense, that's where your eyes go first. And I think even within that, it is number 51 is one of number 55, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter. Outside of that, what is the conversation of when you're looking at this Texas team? Where do your eyes go second, I guess, so to say, when you're looking at the Texans?
Well, certainly it goes, like you said, first to that defense. I was watching them the other day, a couple weeks ago on Thursday night, and I was like, God, I think I tweeted, this Texas defense is terrifying. And at the time, all the Colts fans were telling me, ah, shut up, you're just being soft, and now everybody's a little nervous. I'm like, I told y'all they were for real. So I'm trying to, get them to be a little more, objective. But, fans are rarely like that. And then looking at just secondly with this team, I think the competition around here, and I think they're kind of delusional, is like, oh, well, they've been better with Davis Mills. When C.J. Stroud comes back, he won't be as good. And I'm like, man, bump that. This dude has had you guys' number the last few years, whether it's regular season, getting to the postseason. I'm like, you can't just dismiss C.J. Stroud, the guy who's led his team to back-to-back division championships, while your franchise hasn't won a division championship since 2014. I was my senior year of high school, and I got a couple gray hairs coming in. So I just think that they have to be, ready for C.J. Stroud and how hungry he'll be. And I think he's quite a competitor, very good player, and that's somebody I'm looking at to see, okay, how does he look first game back from the concussion?
All right, James, we go all this time, haven't even mentioned Jonathan Taylor's name once. And it just seems to me, as much as all these matchups matter that we're talking about and things that are important in the game, it comes down to Jonathan Taylor. Obviously didn't get the game that he wanted. Your thoughts on his response now?
Well, if you're looking for someone to alleviate some pressure on Daniel Jones, it is Jonathan Taylor. And if you're looking for some weaknesses in this Houston defense, it is the run. We've seen, James Cook have a decent game against the Texans, so why can't JT go off as well? He's a special player. He's somebody who can change a game on one play. And so I think that it'll have to be all hands on deck to slow him down because the dude looks better than he was in 2021, and he was a first-team All-Pro that year. So credit to him for, making things happen and continue to, I guess reinvent sort of that position here in Indianapolis because they've had so many great running backs with this franchise. And I would argue that of Edgerrin James, of Eric Dickerson, of Lenny Moore going way back when and others, he's the best that they've ever had. And he's shown that week in, week out. So he's somebody I think that, again, is hungry to have a breakout game. And two of the last three, he hasn't been all that great because they've been stacking boxes against them and rallying into the ball. So we'll see if the Colts can have a little more balance this week because he got shut down last week. But for your market, I'm sure they're hoping that JT does not have one of those vintage JT performances.
Oh, yeah, to the point that, people are cursing the Bears for picking Colston Loveland when it comes to the Tyler Warren, and the people are doing all sorts of things to hope and pray that JT doesn't go off. Obviously, last week, I think Shane Steichen took a little bit of heat for at times kind of turning away from him. What has Steichen said about that, and what are the things that cause him, Shane Steichen, to maybe not lean as much on Jonathan Taylor?
You know what? I think a lot of it has to do with him being a little too confident in the pass and too confident in his play calling and his quarterback. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Daniel Jones has been a revelation for this team. You went from basically worst to first. And by that, I mean last year you had Anthony Richardson, whose completion percentage was the worst in the league. It was 47.7%, worst in franchise history. And then this year, Daniel Jones, is at 69.1%, which would be a franchise record if he held it for the entire year. So you've changed a lot having Daniel Jones in there. But as I alluded to earlier, he's not a top five quarterback. He was statistically earlier in the year, but in reality, I think he's more like 10 to 12. So just keeping that in mind will be big, I think, for Shane Steichen, because sometimes he played that game last week as if he had Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. No, you did not. You have Daniel Jones. You have Jonathan Taylor. So use him. And at the very least, I think sometimes when games get tight, he will abandon the run and kind of forget that in certain scenarios, it can be your friend. Like I said, JT can be an explosive player. He can break a long run. But also, in last week's case, and if it happens again this week, if you're ahead of the Houston Texans in the fourth quarter, run the ball a few times. The clock is your friend. Last week, I felt like he gave Kansas City a couple more timeouts because they threw it so many times, so many incompletions, and it gave him life to come back and beat you.
Is there ever a concern about his game management, Shane Steichen?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the time. Credit to him. I think that he's made a lot of things work here when he wasn't really supposed to. First year, you had Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson as your quarterback. And then last year, you had Joe Flacco and Anthony Richardson as your quarterback. So, I mean, you're not going to win very many games with those quarterbacks. They're not really full-time starters in this league. But, yes, I do think that's one area of criticism for Shane Steichen is you told us that your philosophy is to throw to score and run to win. And it seems like when you do throw and you do score, sometimes you still want to keep throwing it instead of leaning into the run and making sure that you're using your clock to your advantage because, like I said, he can get a little too pass happy, and that's fine when you have, you know, Justin Herbert or like he worked with earlier in his career, even Jalen Hurts to an extent. The guy has won a Super Bowl for all the stuff that he gets crap for. He's won it all. Daniel Jones, he's won one playoff game, man. You got to keep perspective on that.
Yeah. There you go. James Boyd covers the Colts for The Athletic and very much does not like cranberry sauce. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your insight there. We appreciate you. We just hope that the team that you cover doesn't get a victory come the weekend.
Hey, look, man, I ain't never lost a game as a reporter, so have a good go. Don't go to overtime.
He said he's undefeated, never lost. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for jumping on
all right,
us.
Man, y'all have a good one.
There he goes. James Boyd of The Athletic joining us here.
Hey, going to overtime is a loss.
Yeah, that is true. That's one thing I wonder. Like, I feel
going
like
to overtime is a loss.
I feel like fans don't appreciate that at times, especially for like a lot of media members, particularly writers that are not having to come from some of the same perspectives that we are.
Yeah.
Is that they are rooting for one thing, which is their self-interest, which is regulation.
Just ask Adam Spillane.
Rooting
play
for,
faster.
Yeah, rooting for you to get done in regulation so I can get my story turned in so I can be done with this, right? Like, I'm not rooting for this to go longer. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is where we typically hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so I got the top five most mispronounced words in Texas. What are those five words? We're going to go through them. And a news anchor decided to have a little fun with it.
Okay. All right. We're going to get you some words for you to use at your Thanksgiving. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. So they got a list of words that pretty much the top five words that people mispronounce in Texas. And I kind of want to go through these. I want to see if y'all pronounce any of these words right or wrong.
Okay. All right.
So you got the medical term. You know the real term for staph infection?
Yes. What is it, staphylococcus? Know what we're talking about?
Yeah. I'm not sure if you pronounced it right.
Is it staphylococcus?
Kind of. Cockle or something like that.
Let me see. Where is it in front of us?
Yeah.
Oh, staphylococcal. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So you got that one. You got the sauce, the famous sauce that everybody always misused. Worcestershire.
I always have to think about it.
Worcestershire.
Is it Worcestershire? Worcestershire.
That's how you.
Is there an R in there? Is it Worcestershire? Is it Worcestershire?
I've always done the R. Worcestershire.
Yeah, some people say Worcestershire and all this other stuff.
Worcestershire.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't use the sauce.
What is the proper way? I'm not looking at your.
No, you said it right. Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Okay.
Yeah,
see that is enough to upset me to not use the sauce. Like I'm sure I know the Worcestershire ends up in other things.
Clutch, though.
Yeah, it ends up in other things.
I don't want to ask for it.
I was like, I'm not buying that because I don't want to ever have to be like, hey, go in there and give me
the big W.
Yeah, no, I'm good on it.
Yeah, let me get the dub.
You know what? Just go ahead and give me some ketchup. I don't even care.
Yeah, the berry. This one, I just from working at Starbucks, I was pronouncing it wrong because I was hearing other people pronounce
the berry.
But
which berry?
Acai.
Oh yeah, the acai. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
I used to say because they have a strawberry acai drink there, and people used to say
or something like that.
Strawberry acai.
Acai.
I'm not gonna lie. I probably would have said acai.
It's got like if you see it written properly, it's got like little. I don't know. I was about to say tilde. That's a very particular, little additional accents that change or alter the C and the I.
I
would have
messed
stuff.
That one up. I would have screwed that one up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got the dog. The is it Dachshund?
Adoption. It's a
Dachshund. Dachshund.
Yeah, it's actually.
It's the German dog, man. What
it's
you
a Dax. Dachshund.
Dachshund. Oh, well, that because it's German. Dachshund. There we go. Got you.
And then you got the famous Greek sandwich,
the gyro.
The gyro.
Gyro.
Back where I'm from, we used to call it gyro.
Yeah, one I knew.
Hey, it was a place called Gyro George. Mm-hmm. It wasn't called Gyro George.
Yeah, you lose the alliteration there. Yeah. It's got to be a gyro in that instance.
Yeah. So here is Fox 26 going through these words. Salute the Melissa Wilson and DeLon Dillard. Mm-hmm. They was going through these words, and they was kind of having a little trouble with this.
The most mispronounced words by Texans, and it seems that we share some of the lists with other states as well. The number one most Googled search word is, and I'm guessing you're looking this up, if your doctor tells you you have this, they might just call it a staph infection, but it is pronounced staphylococcal. So people just call it staph. They don't want to deal with that. It's just too big of a word.
You speak it in tongues.
Number two is a sauce. And I always get this wrong.
I still don't know how to say it.
Worcestershire.
Is that how?
Worcestershire.
Who told them that's how it's supposed to be said?
Well, I don't know, but thank goodness for producer Kayla who tells us right. No, it's sure. Worcestershire. Mm. Who says that? I've never heard anybody say that.
She said, watch your sister, so.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Number three is the berry, acai. Mm-hmm. Then the dog, a dachshund. Have you ever heard anybody say a dachshund? I have.
Oh, I was about to say, is
have you said it like that before? DeLon, have you been calling those cute little weenie dogs a dachshund? You have. You've been corrected.
I was like, wait, are you saying it right? I thought it was Deshaun.
Wait, He thought that the little dog was named Deshaun.
I mean, when you look at it quick, it do look like it say Deshaun.
Deshaun. I'm gonna start calling him Deshaun's now. That's more fun than Dachshund.
Yeah, yeah.
Deshaun.
Yeah. So those are the top five word mispronounced words in Texas. Mm-hmm. So they kind of had the blast.
Honestly, these are words that rarely come up in my life. So it's cool. Even if I did mispronounce these.
That's a great song.
I don't use it ever in my life.
Especially for marinades. And-
sure. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word.
Remember, was it us that went to dinner with Stanford Route and he drenched his whole steak.
Oh, we were so mad at him.
We went to a nice little steak spot.
Well, I think we went to Fleming's.
Yes, it was Fleming's.
I think we went to Fleming's.
He asked for that sauce.
Got any Worcestershire? And we're like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
He put a little dab on it. He like drenched it in there.
Yes.
I was like, what?
What are you doing?
I'm like, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to no steakhouse with you, man. You embarrassing us in front of the hoes,
yeah,
man.
That's right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. This is completely random. I ran across this this clip from 1984. It was the Grammys. It was the Grammys Song of the Year.
You're talking my language, right?
Yeah.
There,
so I want to get your perspective of this.
Mm-hmm.
How tough of a category this is.
Okay.
The nominees are All Night Long. Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie, right?
Beat it! Michael Jackson. Billie Jean, Michael Jackson.
He had two songs in there.
Every Breath You Take, Sting, right on. Michael Sabella,
Dennis Mankowski.
And the winner is Every Breath You Take.
I was going to say that.
That was a tough category, man.
Legends, absolute
goodness
legends.
Gracious. I don't know, because I don't know if it's a thing where you looking back at it, it's like, oh, yeah, it was tough, but during that time, it might not have been as bad.
Yeah.
But, man, Michael Jackson had two songs nominated for Song of the Year.
Yeah.
And lost.
Sting.
That's what I'm saying.
To the police.
That's nothing to kind of laugh and point at.
Yeah.
But that was a tough category, man.
While we're here.
Billie Jean and Beat It lost.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. While we're here, John Lopez, master of Way Back When, was it? Did people also acknowledge at that time that song is stalkery as hell?
Which one?
The police song, Every Breath You Take?
Yeah.
Not really. No, I don't remember that being that big of a deal.
Because that song is stalkery as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, I'll be watching you every breath you take, every step you take. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You're just going to be watching me all the time, huh?
No, it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great song. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't sleep on Mania too, man. Mm-hmm. Like all them songs.
I remember the video. I remember the video because this was on MTV. I mean, you watched MTV to hear the songs and watch Yeah. And yeah, that was prime.
Yeah,
time
I ran
right
across
there.
That clip. I'm like, damn, I wouldn't know who to pick.
Is the song actually about a stalker? Because I always thought that was just Urban Legend.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that being a big talking point.
You know what? That says a lot about me that I never actually went and looked that up. That's how you know I'm a child of the 90s, right? That was back when we were like, oh, someone said that was the case. Red 90 does things to you. Okay, cool. Yeah. Don't drink anything with the red. Was it red 40 rather?
Yeah.
The color or whatever. Yeah. Don't drink nothing with that in there because bad things happen. We just took it for granted.
And by the way, Lionel Richie was just like an also ran with that song, which is another legendary one.
Yeah, man. That's why I'm like, man, that's a tough category.
Well, all night long with Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
I feel like Lionel Richie's done better.
Well, with the Commodores.
100%.
But not necessarily by himself.
And I hate that the Commodores era of Lionel Richie is not talked about nearly as much as...
Nah. Honestly, I don't even talk about Lionel Richie and the Commodores. I just talk about the Commodores.
Yeah.
And then I talk about Lionel Richie solo.
Probably the Commodores and the Rolling Stones are the concerts, the groups that I've seen the most in concert.
Mm.
I think I've seen the Commodores like 6 times.
Goodness gracious,
man.
Yeah. Man, that Stan ain't even the word for
you. Yeah, like you are really an OG in this way.
Did you camp out
at
the hotel?
I've seen him in like 3 or 4 different cities at least 6 times.
My man Lopez at the tour bus like, hey, Lionel,
remember me?
And Lionel's like, hey, what's up, Lopez? We're going to see you in the next city. You coming through as well?
All right, cool. How's that restraining order working out?
Do y'all talk about music at Thanksgiving? Like, what is the topic of conversation for y'all at Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, big time.
More often than not.
Mostly sports.
Mostly sports?
Especially that day.
Since you're the sports guy?
Well, no. Oh, God, you get that, too.
Everybody does. You're the sports guy. I'm going to talk about sports. Like, I'd rather talk about Billie Jean right now.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody asks you what you do for a living, and you tell them? I'm like, oh. So what you think about the Texans?
That's immediately.
Texans? Now what you think about the Astros? Now what you think about the Rockets? Do you follow the Dynamo?
Oh, God,
Do you follow the Dash?
Yes.
Tell me, it's kind of like the comedian.
The one I get the most is, I know you don't want to talk about this because you do it all day, but.
But F that, I'm still going to ask you.
That's kind of like, oh, you're a comedian. Tell me a joke.
Tell me a joke.
Oh, you rap? Let me hear you rap right now.
The best one is, oh, you cook? Hey, make me some. Like, wait, hold on. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. It's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I got to give a special, special salute to a legendary news anchor in Houston by the name of Melanie Lawson, who announced that she is retiring after a 43-year journalism career. And she released a video. Here's a little snippet of the video she released.
I first walked through the doors of ABC 13 in 1974 as an intern, a college student thrilled just to work at the station my family watched for most of my life. In fact, my first time on the air was a mistake. I shadowed a reporter several times, and while we were covering a drowning, I said, can I ask a couple of questions and get some information from the police? He said, sure. I came back, wrote up the story, got it, edited it, and handed it in to my producer. He naturally assumed I'd been cleared by the news director. I had not, but he put it on TV without asking anyone else. Well, when the story hit the air, the news director came screaming down the hall. He wasn't happy, but he said the story wasn't too bad, and he let me stick around for a while. Amazingly enough, that was more than 40 years ago. I did take a detour to law school and did about a 3-year stint practicing law in New York, but it didn't come close to the sense of satisfaction I felt every day at ABC 13. So I realized my heart was not in writing legal briefs. It was in telling your stories.
Salute to Melanie Lawson, man. Man, 40. I think she was at ABC for 41 years.
43 years, was it?
I think
41.
I think she was in journalism for 43 overall. Gotcha. But, man, 1974.
Yeah, 43 years journalism career.
Mm-hmm.
Man. That's incredible. And what a story of first time being on air. Just like slid in there under the gun. Didn't even know. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that news director. Wait, what the hell is this?
What is this? Who is this on my TV?
Well, you wasn't too bad, but, you know, maybe we could work something out.
I'm just kind of doing the math here. She was there. She might have predated even Marvin Zindler.
Yo, I had not done.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She was incredible. There in 74 as an intern.
I still count that, though, man.
Yeah.
I still count that.
Mm-hmm. In the building. We've got a couple of people going back a topic here talking about the different their particular professions. Trey of Texas on the YouTube said, people find out my profession and ask for help with their personal IT issues. They say they're a cybersecurity engineer. And then somebody said, try being a cop and strangers want to tell you everything about law enforcement. Nobody ever wants to talk to a banker about their job, though. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to find out. Are you a banker that people want to talk to about their jobs?
Where do y'all keep the money?
Yeah, I would have questions for a banker. Yeah. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Do y'all got that little button under the desk?
Yeah, like, is that real? Is that y'all really be putting ink dye in there? For real?
Hey, just for the record, Zindler has been here since the 40s, but started at KTRK in 1973.
Oh, so they were right barely. There.
She was 72?
It was right there.
Dang.
That's incredible.
No, yeah. I think she was 74.
74, okay.
Okay, so there we go.
He was 73.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still, I mean, that shows you just how long she's been.
Damn.
That's a long ABC time to be at one place, man.
Incredible.
Yeah, so salute to her. And also salute and happy trails to L. Duncan, who is parting ways with ESPN. Fully part ways. Mm-hmm. I think this is a real part ways because she got another job.
Yeah, right. This isn't going to be like Pablo Torre that technically works somewhere else but still pop up on ESPN shows. Yeah. Like, she is going... ESPN, weirdly enough, agreed to do that more because it used to be, if you want to leave ESPN, you got to go.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got to go enjoy your Fox or wherever else you go, but it's either here or there. And then ESPN opened up a little bit where they're like, you can kind of go and still come through and, get you a plate here or there.
Yeah.
As you can tell, I'm ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But, she's going to Netflix full on, which I find to be fascinating that Netflix is, like, really leaning heavily into their sports thing. Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see what type of role she have there and honestly what Netflix are doing as far as the sports part. But I did want to get to this, I guess in the spirit of L. Duncan. This was her at the WNBA All-Star game during halftime. And you know how the All-Star games don't have no defense at all?
Yeah.
She kind of wanted to lean into the joke of it.
Well, again, we hope it gets a little bit more competitive because, like, a girl's trip to Cancun right now, there's no D. It's a 22-point game for Team Collier. That's a walk-off. Sabrina Ionescu, there she is from the four-point circle. Second half action from Gamebridge Fieldhouse. Tips after this.
Al, you're in timeout.
Okay, done.
Honestly, I kind of love that for Elle. Like, Elle doing SportsCenter, she kept it real in the pocket. She is really good when she has an opportunity to flesh out, and that just like you said there.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
I forgot who it was. It was like, girl, girl, come on now.
But you remembered it, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
Yeah, so salute to Elle Duncan in her new role as well.
Yeah, and salute to everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Safe travels if you're on the road right now. Be careful and have a good time.
100%.
Don't argue too much at the dinner table.
Or do. He's not your daddy. No. the mixtape. You catch it 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand off to the fellas of the drive. I believe they're out at the Buffalo Wild Wings off of Park Row in Katy. So go out and see the fellas if you so choose. But before we do that, let's do a little special draft the holiday. What are you looking forward to when it comes to Thanksgiving, whether it's sports, activities, or food? Let us know. 713-572-4610. We'll draft that next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you. If you want to have a little fun, it is also a Thirsty Thursday on a Wednesday edition, as the fellas of the drive are out at the Buffalo Wild Wings off of Park Road there in Katy. And it's an additional treat if you need a little bit of motivation to get out there. One Clint Sterner's out there. Tyler Milliner getting outside the house.
T-Mill.
He's out at the Buffalo Wild
Wings. I seen
him on
the camera.
They let him out.
They let him out. Go see the man T-Mill. B-Scott said he probably going to drop by there as well. Sounds like a party.
Yeah.
Make sure you go see the fellas out at the Buffalo Wild Wings. That's going to be fun as well. All right. I'm trying to put a little spin on this, John Lopez. Clearly, we're still all looking forward to Texans-Colts, but that's after the weekend, and they're still going to be shows right here on your live and local home on your Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610 on Friday after the after Thursday. So I'm just going to do this as draft the holiday, right? Like,
could be anything.
What are you looking forward to through Thanksgiving, whether it's games, whether it's activities, whether it's food? Let us know. 713-572-4610. Actually, I believe that. I think I have first go.
Go for it.
And so I will absolutely take the low-hanging fruit. Give me Chiefs, Cowboys, 3:30 local time on I can't remember what television station it is. You know what it'll be. CBS. It'll be CBS. That's right. Which I still can't get over the fact that we have like home NFC games, or just when we have NFC games on CBS and then AFC games on Fox, it's weird.
Yeah,
I can't shake it. But this is obviously a very, very intriguing game, a very interesting one, and it'll be a great opportunity to see Kansas City under a different level of stress. I don't think it's the same stress that the Texans could place under them, but I'll be incredibly intrigued. One, just to see if Kansas City can get this victory, but two, that's a really good Dallas offense right now.
Yeah,
and I'm very intrigued just from a general NFL standpoint, outside of just the Texans' best interest standpoint. I just want to see that. You know, sometimes, I don't know, were you as a kid somebody that got a toy and were like, I want to see everything that this can do and put
oh,
it to the...
Oh, heck yeah.
That's how I feel.
Immediately.
That is 100% how I feel looking at this Kansas City game. Like, oh, I want to see just how far this thing goes.
Yeah, yeah. So who's drafting next?
You can go. You got it.
Texas versus Texas A&M.
Fair enough.
Friday night.
Fair enough.
6:30 p.m. Should have seen that one.
Where's your confidence level on this game, man?
Well, I mean, it's not extremely high, but confident. Obviously, I said this, I think yesterday or the day before. The interesting thing about the Aggies at being 11-0, and I may not even said this on the air. I may have said it off air. They truly have not played a complete game.
Yeah, you said it on air. You said it with when we were talking with Joel.
That's what it was, because they went to Notre Dame. They were down 14-0. They got a block punt. You know, you go into LSU. LSU's ranked. You're down at the half. You go into Missouri. You're in a battle at the half. Maybe even losing. I don't remember. Arkansas was a struggle because they played bad in the second quarter. I'm confident if the Aggies can put the proverbial four quarters together that they'll win. But Texas is no joke. I mean, we understand that now, and Arch is having a...
Texas a little bit of a joke.
Arch is having a, you know, something
with all due respect,
nice little streak here. I don't think Texas is going to be able to run the ball, and that'll help. But, yeah, confident, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, wait till they win, you know, all that, because it's a rivalry game.
And, of course, I said that as respectfully as I can. I do like this Texas team, but they I mean, you see the frustration, Texas fans, right? Sure, like, I think you see... the instances where, you know, they're not able to make some shake, or they, like you're talking about, sometimes they could start a little slow. Arch Manning has, like, last game where you go, oh, well, there's the Arch Manning that we were anticipating to start the year. Mm-hmm. It's just you've seen all the other Arch Manning iterations that you saw on the front end of this. So, will they be able to run the football is a big question, and the answer's probably going to be no against A&M, but we'll see how that plays out. And I just want to see how the environment is. I want to see this thing come back to life in real life, especially during this week, you know, when it comes to Thanksgiving and this time, that's going to be half, maybe more than half of the fun is just seeing these two come together, especially when both of them have a claim to being pretty good this year. That's going to be real fun.
Yeah,
I'm going to just go on to take mine right now. Ohio State versus Michigan.
Game. It'll be a bad weather game.
Yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Which is kind of got me nervous. I guess this is a little confession. I'm a little nervous about this game, man.
Well, you should be after last year.
The last 5 years or whatever it was, man. So I'm a little nervous about this one. But kind of like last year, they lost to Michigan, but they end up winning it all eventually. Mm-hmm. So it won't be the end of the world, but, man, you got to beat Michigan, man. You can't lose to them.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to leave more. Somebody said they're a meteorologist. I love the text line right now because it's just all the people who have – various different jobs and the things that people ask them when they go to Thanksgiving or just in general.
Yeah.
And they said, they're a meteorologist. Everyone knows more about weather than you. Well, you got to understand where we're coming from, right? you see why we do this, right? Like, I understand how frustrating that'd be for you. From our side, that's annoying.
Imagine being an athlete.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll leave what I imagine is probably one of the best games to you still. Give me Rockets, Warriors. That's happening tonight. No, Steven Adams makes this real interesting because you're going to have to. Well, I think you obviously lean even more into Alperen Şengün, but with no Kevin Durant, I want to see, talking about stress test. This is going to be an opportunity to see how far down the all NBA MVP kind of spectrum that I'm kind of throwing up there for him that he has. Can you be the guy that's physical and be like a anchor defensively in those things while also being the guy for whom. A lot of the offense is going to have to run through. I was pleasantly surprised, I guess, for lack of a better term, with how well the offense flowed against Phoenix. There are still obviously things to be desired within it, but this is another level, right? Like, what does this team look like eventually without Kevin Durant? That's maybe too far to take it, but I do think that it's another interesting thing. And then also, if we're talking about the vibes of it, that Golden State team, man. Draymond's going to be doing his shenanigans. What does Steph look like with another return and meeting with a man? All those things are going to be fun to see when they play out there in Chase Center tonight.
I don't know. I mean, there's the rest of the NFL games this week kind of look interesting and on an equal level. I might have to go with another.
Oh, you're going to Sunday?
I might have to go to Sunday.
I thought there was an easy answer on a.
What am I missing?
On Thursday, the first game, Thursday at noon.
Oh, yeah. Packers-Lions.
Yeah, I was like, you really just going to leave that one on the table here, huh?
I scrolled right past that.
Yes, you did.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
That one should be fun. Like, yeah. I appreciate, although, I'm not going to lie, maybe this is my take. This is my Thanksgiving take here. I kind of liked it when the Lions were bad.
No way.
I kind of liked when you had a game that you could just have on that you didn't have to pay attention to.
But it felt like such a waste of a good time slot.
But it was just on.
like a good time slot.
Right? Like, either if you're doing it right, you're already eating. Or if your family is, you know, dragging a little bit, you're still getting some stuff together.
This is Thanksgiving, man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.